Today is Septuagesima Sunday. It's also the feast day of St. Cyril of Alexandria and also St. Apollonia. So the second and the third orations, secrets, and post-communions we pray at Mass today from their feast day today. The Vatican II Modernism Conference will take place this Thursday at school at 7:30 p.m. for the men of the parish. So mark that on your calendars, gentlemen, this Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Also, Monday devotions will be canceled on February 17th at the school because the school will be on winter break, the 17th through the 21st. So the Monday night devotions will resume on the 24th. Also, this Friday, February 14th, St. Pius V School will hold its annual George Washington Parade. It will take place at 2 p.m. Families are welcome to participate in paying homage to our first president and, of course, to offer prayers for our country. That will take place this Friday at 2 p.m. at the school. Also, ladies, forthcoming in May, May 15th through the 18th, there will be a retreat in Round Top. Flyers will be forthcoming. That's May 15th through the 18th. The epistle upon you read for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And everyone that striveth after the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run not as at an uncertainty. I so fight not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. And the Holy Gospel is a gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he saith to them, why stand you here all the day idle? They say to him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith to them, go you also into my vineyard. And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith to the steward, call the laborers of and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When therefore they came that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more. And they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day in the heats. But he answering said to one of them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will give also to the last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do at what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And he sent them into his vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The vines that we read about today in today's Gospel, the vines that our Lord has given to us, and they are our souls. He has given them to us to nurture and to cultivate by good works, so that we may bear good fruit and enter into our eternal glory. And it's interesting to see so many Catholics who know the value of their soul, who know that death and judgment and hell and heaven are realities, and yet they live as though they were not realities. Many live as though they were never going to die, or as though they will not have to give an account of their entire life before Almighty God. On the 70th day before Easter, we should reflect on the importance of the salvation of our souls. We should realize that it's the most important of all affairs of our life. In today's gospel, we see the four figures. We see the husbandman, we see the laborers, we see the vineyard, and we see the penny. The householder, the husbandman, represents God, who throughout the course of time has called laborers, men of all nations and backgrounds, into his vineyard. The vineyard, of course, being the true Catholic Church, so that they may labor industriously and gain for themselves the penny, that is the penny of eternal life. And the periods that our husbandmen went out to call laborers, first of all, represents the times in history. The first was the time of Adam, and then during the time of Noah, then Abraham, and then Moses, and finally the time of Christ and the apostles up to our present time. But the hours of the day also represent the hours of men's lives. The morning is childhood. The third hour is youth. The sixth, manhood. The ninth, old age. The 11th hour is the last sickness and the deathbed. God calls into his vineyard laborers at various stages of their life. Some he calls when they're children. Some he calls when they are youth. Some he calls when they are men. And others he calls in old age to embrace the true Catholic faith. He even calls those who are on their deathbeds to accept and profess all the truths, and they are called at the 11th hour. All those who are called into the vineyard, they are to labor for the faith, no matter what hour they are called. And if they truly labor for the faith, and they strive for that penny, they will receive the reward. But what labors can one give to God in the last hour? A sincere repentance, an act of perfect charity, a lively desire and a firm purpose of serving faithfully if one's life should be prolonged. These are sufficient to merit the reward of eternal glory. St. Dismas, the good thief, who was at the right hand of God on Calvary, who truly repented of his crimes and implored the mercy of God, heard the wonderful words, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." But my dear faithful, this does not mean that we who are already called into the vineyard should delay until the last hour to perform our labors. If that were the case, then God would have no use for us. It's the intention and the fervor, the fidelity, and above all, the intensity of the love with which we work out our salvation and complete the work of our souls. He has already called us into the labor, and so therefore we must work. And the laboring is the fighting our evil inclinations and temptations, suffering for God and his honor, for our own salvation and the salvation of others. Just as in a vineyard or a garden, we dig and we pull out by the root the weeds and fertilize the good plants, so too in our spiritual vineyard, the vineyard of our souls, through daily examination of our conscience, frequent meditation on death and hell and heaven, the practice of the virtues. We dig out our evil inclinations and we root out to eradicate the noxious weeds of vice. It is through prayer and fasting, by mortification of our senses, that we cut away the concupiscences and we mend our lives. It is by recollection of our sins to see the evilness of serious sin and sin in general as an offense against God. It helps us to humble ourselves and amend our lives. And in the place of our bad habits, we are to plant the opposite virtues. We must bind our wandering and wayward will, as it were, to a trellis, and that is the fear of God and his judgment, so that we can continue with a firm stock. We must cultivate in our souls a great hatred of sin, and we must nurture that fervor and a desire to destroy all sin in us. To fertilize this hatred of sin, we should perform our daily spiritual reading. It's not enough to pick up a spiritual book once a week or once a month or every 6 months or during the time of Easter, during the time of Passion Week, and read about our Lord's flight to Calvary. If we don't pick up a spiritual book every day and read some content about the spiritual life, we will be caught up in the things of the world. And we will read of the things of the maxims of the world, And our lives will conform to the world. If we pick up our daily spiritual reading, there's time for everything in the day. And yet, how many actually make time to fertilize the soul? We should frequent the sacraments, the sacrament of penance and Holy Communion, to implore the saints for their intercession and to help us to overcome our predominant sin. We should, we should especially call upon those saints who fell into the very same sin and fault and overcame it by God's grace. The performance of good deeds, fasting and almsgiving, the refreshing waters and the nutrients needed by the vines of our souls to become strong and ward off disease. There are those who are standing idle in the marketplace, that is, in the world. They may be busy about many, many things, but they do not work for God and for their own salvation. And there are three ways in which one can remain idle in the world. And that is by doing nothing whatsoever for their salvation. The second way is by doing evil and committing sins. And the other is not doing the duties of one's state of life. Or if one does those duties, they do it with a bad intention, just because they have to do certain things rather than for the honor and glory of God. This threefold idleness deprives us of our salvation, just as the laborer loses his wages if he does not work. We are all the servants of God, and not one of us can say that no man has employed us, because we have been employed. We have been employed by a very, very great price, that is the infinite blood of Christ. Since he cares for us at all times, we must strive to serve him at all times. My dear faithful, he's given us one vine to tend. And if we continue to labor for its health and diligently prune and nurture it, it will remain strong and healthy and bear good fruit. But if we remain idle in the development of our vine, our spiritual life and the salvation of our soul, then the soul will die. It will die in mortal sin. And then it will be cut out and it will be thrown into the fire to burn. Lest we lose the one precious gift God has given to us, we must continually, diligently labor to cultivate it. We must devote our entire life to the well-being of our soul. Its salvation is the most important affair of our entire life. If we succeed in laboring continually for our souls and we are saved, then we shall enjoy happiness, eternal happiness with the true and eternal husbandman and the eternal vineyard. Pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary for perseverance in your labors. Pray every day to your patron saint and your guardian angel to protect you and assist you in your temptations. We are called into the vineyard of our Lord at this very moment of our lives, and we must respond to the call by accepting the trials and the joys and sufferings of the labors that are necessary for us. We must live as that we truly believe there is a heaven and there is a hell. We must conform our lives to this thought. We must strive to nurture the vines of our souls and continue labor for the salvation of our souls so that we may receive the promised reward of the penny. The penny is eternal life. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.